Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Welcome to Point of View. My name is Pamela Mutine. It's our Thursday edition of Point of View. So welcome to it. I know it's been a heavy week, but we are going to ease into the weekend very, very nicely. We'll do that with some music. We'll also do that with What to Watch with Lou Aramark. So that's all going to be coming up just after 9 o'clock. But let's start here. If you are a resident of, particularly in Soweto, I hear a lot of the problems are in Soweto, except maybe it doesn't necessarily have to be in Soweto. Maybe you are anywhere where you can catch us. Let us know, you know, if you are struggling with your meter upgrades and all of that. How has your experience been? So we all know that we really don't have much time. We have up until Sunday to either upgrade, update your meter, or go and get a new meter. So what we have to be doing is that we need to be engaging with Eskom, trying to sort all of that out. If for whatever reason, you know that there's a number that you're given, and when you check and you punch in and it does not verify your meter, you would have to go get a new one and all of that. What does all of that mean? I know that there were residents who were complaining, saying, no, you know, we need more time. The minister made it quite clear. Actually, it's not up to them. It's a system that's already in place. The date has been locked. So, you know, even if the minister wanted to, he cannot change all of that. So just to get more clarity on all of that and how we are doing, because there's been lots of progress over the past 24 hours. Earlier on the week, I think that we were left with about 2 million people who still needed to upgrade. And I think that number has reduced quite significantly. The last I checked, I think we were sitting on 400,000 people. So let's get more information from Eskom spokesperson Daphne Mokoena, who's on the line with us. And thank you so much for your time, Ms. Mokoena. Good evening and welcome. Sure. That line is not so good. Are you able to hear us, Ms. Mokoena? Oh, much better.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for making time for it. Yes, it is. So let's just maybe get an update from yourselves, you know, how we're doing with getting everybody on board. I know there's now starting to be some panic for some residents. Give us the latest numbers, please.
Yeah. So since we started, maybe just to go back a bit, reemphasize the point that, you know, the Eskom, we started with this process last year already around July and started communicating to our customers around August. And the journey from where we started, and by May, June, we're sitting around 4 million customers that had updated their meters. And currently we're sitting up just above 5 million customers that have, updated their meters. So we still have quite a few customers. But what we have realized, like today, I was actually on the ground with the team at Diepkloof Hub. You know, obviously there were long queues and all that, but, as we assisted customers, one could just pick up that most of the customers that are coming through now are those customers that were not buying. And they couldn't update their meters because, Timelo, as you know, that the process, as we have mentioned before, that it starts by you buying electricity. And once you buy electricity, you get your tokens, the two-digit tokens that are additional, 20-digit tokens that are additional to your credit token. And then once you get home, you just upload those two-digit tokens and then you complete the process by punching in the credit token. So because you are not buying all along, so surely that process wouldn't have kick-started at all. But as Eskom, as we have mentioned before, that we had prepared our meters, the 6.9 million meters, to ensure that when customers go and buy, they can buy. They can get those two additional tokens. Although along the line, we did have some issues with those that were buying, And I'm not talking about the issues that I was just explaining now at the way too. But along the line, I think 2 weeks to 3 weeks ago, we had issues with our customers that are buying. But those issues are almost, I can say, 99.99% resolved. We still have one or two customers coming through and still complaining.
Just maybe if you can give us an example of what kind of an issue a legitimate buying customer would have been facing.
Okay, so a customer would say, you know, I've been buying all along, but all of a sudden I can't buy.
Okay.
Or I've been buying all along, all of a sudden I bought, but I can't load the token that I've bought onto my meter.
Yes.
Yeah. So in those cases, we found that most of these meters were actually blind vending, meaning that we didn't have all the customer information to register that meter completely on our system. So we needed customers then to their details, and the main details basically your meter, your name, and your phone number, and your province and address. So once we have all those, then we were able then to close those issues that we had with the customers. And it was what we also emphasized with these customers was that they must use our self-service, you know, channels, which is Alfred Register. We've got Alfred. Actually, there is a tab in there where you can just update your details. It's on my update my details, and once you have updated it, will prompt you or instruct you in terms of what to respond to. And then once that information is completed, once you send submit to all, and then it will send you, and that information will be passed to our back office, where you will then receive an SMS that says your meter now is registered, and then we gave the customer 24 hours to go now and buy, or a token that they can upload before they can then upload the credit token.
Okay. I've got someone with a question here, if you don't mind, Daphne. Daniel is in Tembisa. Good evening, Daniel.
Hi, Pamela. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
May I please ask, Daphne, like, for instance, some of us, like, here in Tembisa, you don't have that meter box. Like, for instance, whenever I'm buying electricity, it just loads itself automatically. We don't get that credit token. So, for us, yeah, they're giving out the number 8, what they said, you must punch it on your meter box. I understand. I'm just wondering, what about that?
Definitely, so does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
No, it makes sense. Actually, when we talk about a credit token, the token is that 20-digit number. Basically that you get that 20, there's nothing that it's called that you get. So on your slip, you get that credit token, which is basically a code of 20 numbers that you punch in your on your meter. So if on the updating process, instead of that credit 20-digit number that you get always when you go and buy, you get additional 20-digit codes or tokens that you need, or we call them tokens, but it's not something physical that the customer gets. It's all those numbers that are written on the slip after you had bought.
Daniel, does it make sense to you?
No, I'm saying.
Yes.
We, like, saying our prepaid customers, whenever they buy the electricity, they must come back and punch those numbers on their meter box. But some of us, we don't have the meter box, and whenever we buy electricity, we don't punch anything. It just loads itself automatically from.
I get it. Yeah. Maybe you do.
Yeah.
You purchase from your app, ne? And then it just loads it automatically. You
That's
don't input yourself. Okay.
No. We know about that. Where after you have bought, then
it's automatic.
Automatically. Upload. We also, some of our meters can do that, but not all our meters. We're still working on that particular technology where once you've bought, you know, there's no need for customer to actually punch the numbers. The numbers automatically get into the meter.
So in his case, how would he know if everything is fine?
He said he's from Tembisa, because Tembisa is supplied by Ekurhuleni Municipality, and
I see.
He has you know, now, you know, have been on that particular or using that particular technology, whereas we are still not using it.
So, yeah. So definitely, if he's a customer like him, like many in Tembisa, how would they know that everything is fine and, you know, nothing on Thursday, I mean, on Sunday is going to change for them?
And unfortunately, you know, this question I was asked because I was going to, you know, try and maybe contact my municipality counterpart just to check with them as well, because I also get that question. Remember from Eskom, we got that 20-digit number, that 1844, you know, that long number that we say customer must punch into their meters. So, and once they punch in those 20-digit number, then it will, on their screen, they should be seeing a 2 or a 2.2 or an R2 and T2. If they see those numbers, they must know that their meter is updated, but if they see a 1 or a 1.2 or a R1, T1, then or T2, they must know that their meter is not yet updated. So we've got that number, but what I haven't established, you know, is that is as to whether that number is universal to all the SPS meters. Can they also use it? I mean, municipal customers, can they also punch it in and, you know, get the display that I just spoke about on their meters just to confirm as to whether they are updated or not.
You know,
I'll follow up on that tomorrow.
You know what we will do, Daniel? I mean, Daphne is taking all these questions, and so what they will do, they will find more ways to communicate to customers like yourselves who have a different way in which your municipality credits your meters. So we will be on it, and then we'll make sure that you get those, that information, Daniel. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you. Let me go to Tepo in Four Ways. Hi, Tepo.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
I'm a very frustrated customer. So what
you're a very frustrated customer.
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
And we have been saved by Eskom. So I'm going to try to be quick.
No,
and I hope I
take your time, Tepo. This is very important. Take your time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we bought property. After buying property last year, I went to Sunny Hill to try and get the meter transferred into our names, right?
Mm-hmm.
Subsequent to that, then we had like the mini sub outside the box exploding. The guy that comes to fix it says, we can't help you guys because you're not registered. Then I gave him proof that, no, we actually did what you needed to do after the property was transferred in our name. I can tell you that it's been 2 months to date. I started sending to Valley. I think Good Valley is in charge of our area. There's a lady that was called Frida that's trying to help us. As I'm speaking to you right now, Pimelo, I do not have a functioning meter because of people in Eskom not being able to help us. I've sent emails, I call, no one is getting back to us. So right now, as I'm speaking to you, I do not have a customer. What is that? Is it customer face unit? What is it called? Interface unit. I do not have one that is working because it has not been properly registered. Now I have to call to try to get assistance. No one responds to my emails. What do I do?
Can I ask if you have electricity at all?
I do have electricity because the guy that came there said to me, look, I'm going to do you a favor and I'll get in trouble because you've been without electricity for 2 weeks. I'm going to connect you illegally while I'm trying to sort out
the problem. Now. Yeah, and that's the problem, you see, definitely, where, let's not even go there.
Yeah, no, but let me start by apologizing to Tepo. Really, that is very unacceptable. From number one, from our guys not assisting, especially after years. And send so many emails. I'll definitely, if you can give me a reference number or give your producer the reference number, you can even give him my number so that I can assist him. But as well, the second, you know, big issue obviously happened here is for our technician to connect to the customer illegally because they are not supposed to.
But I'm working from home. 2 weeks without electricity, but Manchun goes down.
No. All I'm saying that they are not supposed to do that. Should have made sure that they actually ensure that your meter is registered, you've got the CIU, and when they give you electricity, it's a legal electricity on that day and not postpone it. But for them to postpone it by just connecting it illegally, and after 2 weeks later, Tepo said it's after how long now? 2 months or what? And so, now when we audit that meter, we'll be seeing you as somebody who would have illegally connected, and we'll be finding you, which obviously was not your problem. But I'm glad that Tepo called and came forward, Pimelo. And if you can just maybe share my number.
Tepo, we're going to have to sort this out now on the side.
Tepo.
Please, I am desperate. That's exactly what I don't want, that tomorrow I will be accused of. I'm not paying when the minister exploded, you know? Okay. So I don't know where will I get the number from.
I'm going to put you back, Tepone. Don't drop the phone. I'm going to put you back, and we will sort it out. You know, Daphne.
Yeah, and then Tepo can just drop me a WhatsApp and just mention that you are Tepo, the guy from Four Ways, and then I will follow up and communicate with you.
Okay, let me take Tabiso in Tembisa. Hi, Tabiso.
Mama, the guy.
Hello, Tabiso.
I'm hating when he talks about Tembisa. And the previous guy, before the gentleman, asked a question, and then Mama didn't answer. I think she doesn't understand Roberta Halango Tembisa, the tariff, and how do we buy electricity. And then Kopa Mama is the investigation of Tembisa, because I'm a resident, Kohagi Tembisa, but I've moved, but it's still in Mumoikurulen. But the way they're charging that thing, they're totally different. Because Tembisa, we being charged more. I don't know how are the tariffs calculated.
What she said is that those meters, that's a city. Directly as they don't supply you directly. You're supplied by
Ekurhuleni.
So the people who have the answers for you, Hasi Eskom, ki city of Ekurhuleni. I can bring them when Tabiso on the show to give you the answers.
But we still under same municipality, but then we being charged way different.
I understand. What I'm saying is that
Sakani is Eskom, but Tembisa, it is directly supplied by the municipality. Sakani is directly supplied by Eskom. They fall under the same municipality, but in terms of electricity supply area, the area Yabona, Iwela, under the city of Ekurhuleni, not Eskom, under the jurisdiction of Ekurhuleni.
Ekurhuleni, but then Babangwe, there's like they are paying less, others are paying more. And then it's not fair. Because always I'm getting a call, Mama, for what they say. What is it that we doing differently than others? But we are still in Ekurhuleni. So some areas would be torn and others, we are in Ekurhuleni, but then our tariffs are way different. So what's wrong with Tembisa? Because I remember my primary days when they introduced these small boxes. We took them to Mkhari Stadium and we banned them. But then they came back and said, if you don't want to follow it, then you won't get electricity. And it's unfair. Why some people are getting some different treatment, but they're still in the same area? Can they go, Mama? I'll listen on the radio.
All right. Tabiso, I'll get Ekurhuleni on, but maybe Daphne, you know, the issue of jurisdiction between the city and Eskom is always contentious because you have the same issue in other areas as well in Soweto where people are saying, no, you know, we are supplied by Eskom, others are supplied by the city, and the problems are different.
Definitely the problem of business businesses is also different, and unfortunately, we service customers that are under a licensed area in terms of distribution, and the city or the municipality will also service the customers that are in their licensed area.
Before you go, Daphne, let's just quickly talk about those who are going to face some fines, because it does seem like you have, quite a huge number of customers who... And we don't know, you know, the way in which you are dealing with this, I think, is commendable. You're not criminalizing people. You just say, look, this is now the fine. If you are sitting with an illegal meter, we have to deal with it. What's the cost of that meter, which is obviously being paid by the customer?
So what we're saying is that once if a customer hasn't at least bothered himself to go and buy electricity, or the customer hasn't got those tokens, or the customer hasn't even come forward to us so that we can assist him with or her with those tokens, and come 24th November 2024, if whatever credit that you have, whether it's obviously I'll refer to those credits because this customer, remember, is the customer that is not paying Eskom. Probably he has credits with the goods vending, or he won't even have credits at all. And when those goods vending credits, for an example, if they run out or they get depleted, that customer won't be able to use that goods vending anymore or credits anymore. Or if that customer, and then what happens beyond that is that one, you won't be having supply. Two, that customer's meter would then obviously not operate any longer and you can't resuscitate it. So it becomes a useless meter that will need to be replaced. And hence we're saying the cost of replacing that meter is 12,000 rand.
And I believe there is a, you know, plan, payment plan that you're organizing?
So the payment plans is for, well, what we had was the, remember we at some point there was an issue with our SOA2 with the Deep Loop customers, and then we got into some payment arrangement because customers were saying the fine was too high and all that. So that
okay.
So this
12,000 rand
payment arrangement.
It's not a payment arrangement for this 12,000 rand.
No. It's for those that have bypassed. Remember, we come in, obviously, we've been disconnecting customers because they haven't been buying. I mean, this is a process that we've been doing. It's part of our daily operations. So there was a point where customers approached us and said, you know, this amount, and the councillors say this amount is too high. Can we just sit around the table and see how, you know, we do want to pay the fine, but it's too hefty. How can we pay the fine, but while we still have electricity? So we got into some argument, but yeah, things change. We get to review stuff, Pimelo, because of then what would have happened. Because at some point, you know, you get into arguments with customers and they don't actually commit or comply to whatever that they have agreed on. And it then says, you know, to the business that we need probably to review some of the decisions that we have taken because they obviously not bearing, you know, bearing fruit, or, you know, they are not turning out to be as we had agreed. You know, it's part of the contract, but people then don't actually breach the same contract that we had agreed on.
So quickly, those who then find themselves with these illegal meters, right now, before Sunday, are they going to have to pay up front the 12,000 rand?
No, remember the 12,000, the only time that your meter won't be working is after the 24th.
I understand. But to get a new meter, when you discover or you are told that your meter is illegal, would they need to pay that up front?
If the meter, remember, what we are saying that if your meter after the 24th won't be working, then because you didn't come forth and change to KRN2, irrespective of the fact that your meter, you've done whatever that you've done, but come and redeem your 20-digit numbers. And you can only redeem those numbers by doing what? By going and buying electricity. Whether you haven't bought electricity for whatever years or as I said, that obviously those customers that have been buying, they are, obviously they will get those numbers. But those that are not buying, we're urging them to say, go and buy, because that's where the process starts. Go and buy so that you can redeem your 20-digit, those two additional numbers. And come to us, and then you tell us what you have done so that we can make sure that we know you so that we don't get to a point. We're going to investigate, obviously, after this, but we don't get to a point of the 12,000.
Okay.
Those that don't come forward, Without the two-digit numbers that I'm talking about.
I want to be quick because my next guest is waiting. What I'm saying is that if I know Napimelo, I've been using an illegal meter. I have not been paying for electricity, and I know this. Mm. And the reason I have not been listening to the request is because I know. Mm. But now I see time's running out, and I am going to go to the city or to Eskom's offices. Am I expected to pay 12,000 rands now before Sunday?
No. So now what we're saying to those customers, like I said, that we dealt with a lot today.
Yes.
In Soweto. So what we're saying to those customers is that go and buy electricity. You've got an ETA number, go and buy so that you can get your 20-digit numbers.
All right.
Once you've got your 20-digit numbers, then you come back.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to fine you.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to fine you. But the fine is a normal fine for bypassing that, no bridging, that's how they call it. But it's not about the 12,000.
How much is that fine?
So the fine is the 6,052.
That's what you're going to be paying before
that's
you
the one away. There's a 500 rand upfront.
Oh, I see. Got you. All right. It makes perfect sense to me. No, thank you so much for clarifying all of that. And I'll reiterate it a bit later for those who are still confused. Daphne Mugwena is Eskom's spokesperson. And I promise you, we'll get the city of Ekurhuleni on Monday, just so that for those of you who have other problems, we can have those dealt with as soon as possible. So let's take a quick break. When I come back, I'm going to be speaking to Scopus chairperson.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.